Banks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Faster my good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Monday, the 28th of July. I'm Christian Jones, and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, a statue of King Ori has been given the green light by the planning committee. The Enterprise Minister is under fire from hoteliers after claiming hotels are full all season in Tynwald. And FC Isle of Man were held to a draw in their first match of the season. All those stories and more coming up. As always, do get in touch if you want to comment on anything you hear. Text WhatsApp to 166177 or you can email studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's join Simon Richardson, who has the latest headlines. Fast to my.
Manx Utilities' handling of a complaint from a customer has been described as complacent, dismissive and betraying a lack of respect for the complainant's concerns by the Ombudsman. The Tynwald Commissioner for Administration found there had been several instances of maladministration after an individual raised concerns about their bills. Manx Utilities says it acknowledges the findings of the report and is committed to continuous improvement. Ramsey Town commissioners say solar panels on the town hall have cut emissions and saved money in their first year. They've reduced carbon dioxide by 9 tonnes, the equivalent of planting 350 trees over a 10-year period. Around £3,100 has been shaved off the electricity bill, with some power even sold back to the grid. A plan to have an illuminated statue of King Ori in St John's has been granted planning approval. It was initially recommended for refusal by the planning officer on the basis that Tynwald is about the collective and that prioritising a statue of one figure deviates from that. It will be just under 3 metres tall and 1.8 metres wide on a verge next to Tynwald Hill. In international headlines, huge crowds have watched England's triumphant Lionesses return to the UK after touching down at Southend Airport. Serena Wiegmann's side are attending a special reception in Downing Street after becoming back-to-back European champions. A humanitarian catastrophe is how the Prime Minister's described the situation in Gaza, saying people are revolted by images of starving children. Sir Keir Starmer's in Scotland meeting President Trump, who says the US will help set up food centres in the territory. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump's told reporters he's giving Vladimir Putin 10 or 12 days to make progress in ending the war in Ukraine. If Moscow doesn't comply, the country could be hit with 100% tariffs. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Gurmai, thank you very much for that, Simon. Well, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Continuing dry for the rest of the day, with bright or sunny intervals developing at times, light winds and a minimum temperature of 14 degrees Celsius. Cloud will then start to thicken and lower overnight as an area of rain or drizzle arrives from the west.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
A ground source heat pump can save thousands of pounds a year, and you can harness this energy on island with Geothermal Limited, the water borehole experts. Visit drilling.im and see how a ground source heat pump borehole works. That's drilling.im.
Hungry for something better at work? The Quirky Teapot Balasala creates bespoke corporate buffets and delivers straight to you. Serving the south of the Isle of Man with flavour and style. Call Abby and the team on 22 42 42 or visit the Quirky Teapot on Facebook.
Lost your keys? Got locked out? Get in with Kevin's Keys. Your fast, reliable locksmiths 24-7. Homes, cars and bikes. Kevin's Keys do it all. And why not get a spare set cut and chipped just in case? Call Kevin on 287 287.
Direct cremation is just that. An affordable and simple cremation without all the costs associated with a funeral service. Find out more by visiting directcremation.im or phone Direct Cremations on 478 422.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
It's approaching 5 minutes past five, and this morning the planning committee approved proposals to have a statue of King Ori in St John's on land next to Tynwald Hill. There were a number of objections to the sculpture, including from Manx National Heritage, German commissioners and a local resident. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has more details.
A plan to have an illuminated statue of King Ori in St John's has been granted planning approval. It was recommended for refusal by the planning officer on the basis that Tynwald is about the collective and that prioritising a statue of one figure deviates from that. The officer added that an archaeological evaluation hadn't been carried out and said Manx National Heritage had concerns about the land. It will be just under 3 metres tall and 1.8 metres wide on a verge next to Tynwald Hill. Drawings of the sculpture show King Ori with a sword and mounted on a plinth inscribed with his name in Manx Gaelic, English and runes. The cost of the project has not been published, but has been confirmed to be privately funded. Historian Charles Gard spoke in support of the project at the planning hearing and said it will be symbolic of the island's Viking heritage. He added that it would be a high-quality piece of public art of a historical figure from the island's past. Mr. Gard added that the clothing depicted on the statue is based on latest research. Committee member Helen Hughes said she was in favour of public art, but asked if there would be a difference to road safety if the statue was smaller or not lit up. The representative of the Department of Infrastructure said it wouldn't make any significant difference to the visibility at the junction. However, it was pointed out during the hearing that both the church and the hill are lit up during the night. It was unanimously approved by the committee, subject to conditions about lighting and an archaeological survey.
Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper reporting there. Well, as we heard, Charles Gard was speaking in favour of the sculpture at the committee hearing. He spent decades involved in Manx culture, heritage and history, being recognised for his work in 2021 with an MBE. Just before the programme this evening, I sat down with him and began by asking him to remind us of who King Ori was.
Godred Crovan is his real name, and he was one of the Vikings who possibly was born here, lived here as a child, but he certainly came back in 1079 with a vengeance, and he won the Battle of Sky Hill just outside Ramsey, and he established himself as king, and his dynasty continued for another 400 years. So he's a key person in our Viking history.
And in terms of bringing this sculpture, the statue, to beside Tynwald Hill, what's the historical significance of that?
Well, the historical significance is that when you go to Tynwald Hill, of course we know the tiered hill, but there's nothing actually Viking about it, or to say that there is anything Viking. And the president quite rightly thought that a statue of a Viking might not be a bad thing at the side. So everyone can see Vikings, that's what they look like. As I pointed out, next to the Houses of Parliament in London, in Parliament Square, there are 12 statues to do with the democratic history of the UK. And, you know, having one statue at St John's didn't seem to be a bad thing.
And naturally, you were at the planning committee meeting today when they approved it, perhaps surprisingly, but that aside, do you happen to know when this monument might be in place?
Well, there were several conditions, which are quite right, which will be looked at. Actually, under the planning laws, we can't even think about this for 21 days because somebody who has a right to object might ask for an appeal, in which case it'll be another year. But hopefully work will start after 21 days, taking into account the conditions that the planning committee set.
So it's very possible, provided no one objects, that the next Tynwald Day we could have King Ori on the side?
Oh, definitely. The statue's already made. It's been cast. It's sitting in a foundry in England. So he's ready to be in position.
And have you seen the statue?
Sorry?
Have you seen the statue in person?
I've seen the photographs and the moquette of it, and it's absolutely superb because Steph and Darren worked to such high standards. It's a really fine piece of public art.
Historian Charles Gard speaking there just before the programme. Now, the president of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly, submitted the application back in March. He joins me now. Mr President, thanks for taking the time to have a quick chat. Well, I suppose the obvious question to start is, in many ways, this had the odds stacked against it. It was recommended for refusal, but the planning committee disagreed and approved it. Was that surprising?
I don't know if it was surprising, but certainly very pleasing to hear the committee do their job. And that's exactly what they're there for, to make a decision which can be subjective. So the recommendation was made for refusal, but the committee does not have to agree with them. And that's exactly what they're there for.
And it is pretty uncommon for the president of Tynwald to submit planning applications. So you must clearly feel this would enhance the island's cultural offering. Is that right?
Yes, indeed. And you know, the whole origin to this is to celebrate our origins. And as you heard there from Charles, we have the Vikings and, of course, Godfrey Govan, as noted in the Chronicles of Man, to celebrate and highlight they gave us Tynwald. And that was the whole purpose of this, really, was to recognise, educate and celebrate that those origins.
And just lastly, I mean, assuming all goes to plan, do you hope this will be in situ for Tynwald Day 2026?
Yes, we certainly hope so, but we must recognise the process, and that's exactly what we've gone through here. We've gone through a fairly lengthy process, to say the least, but the decision's been made by the committee. Now we have to wait 21 days to see if an appeal is made, and if that appeal is not made, then yes, we will progress this as swiftly as we can, and hopefully people will be able to recognise and again celebrate our history and our heritage with the Vikings.
Will be an interesting one to see how it all pans out. That is all we have time for, I'm afraid. Thank you so much for joining us. That was the president of Tynwald, Lawrence Skelly.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
11 minutes past five, and a hotelier is calling for the creation of a minister for tourism that would engage with the hospitality sector and assist in strengthening it. It comes after the enterprise minister made comments in Tynwald claiming that all hotels on the island are full all season. Well, let's just take you back to that moment. This happened a couple of weeks ago in the July Tynwald sitting when he interjected as MHK Rob Callister was speaking.
We are still underperforming as a holiday and shore break destination. This is primarily due to a lack of awareness. Yeah, happy to.
Thank you, Honourable. I do appreciate that. Can I just clarify? I appreciate some of the sentiment you're saying about the challenge of making sure we are building in the shoulder season. But can I just clarify that our hotels are full all season? And that's why we're building more. That's why there's more hotels in planning. That's why we're looking to do that. The Honourable Member behind you shaking their head, I don't know why, because ultimately that is true. Our hotels are full.
Tim Johnston speaking there. Well, those comments were met with anger from some owners and an apology was subsequently issued to the sector during a private meeting. However, the owner of the Ascot Hotel, Norman Mackey, has accused Tim Johnston of talking out the back of his head.
The industry is not okay. The hotels aren't full and we don't need new hotels to complicate the system. We are represented by the industry board and they haven't got a clue what's going on here. Nobody's got a clue what's going on here. Only the hoteliers. We see the hotels closing down. We see problems within the industry which are never solved because we don't have a Minister of Tourism. What actually happens is the girls who want to come from Europe to work over here for the summer, they can't get visas. At the moment, we're getting school kids in. It doesn't work out properly. The steam packer first, I mean, that's got to come into the equation. If the steam packer is owned by the Alaman people, which it is, not the government, the Alaman people, why don't we have a steering committee that looks into how the business is being run? Because at the moment, my wife has just come and gone back from the UK on a £75 return. That's ridiculous money. This should be something like £35 return. We, the people of the Isle of Man, own the steam packet company. Why don't we have a say in how that company is being run? Because if it's run by the Tynwald, as we've already said today, God help us.
The Enterprise Minister says he will correct and clarify comments he made in Tynwald with members directly. He added it was an overstatement and not accurate. 14 minutes past five, a letter from the Chief Minister to the UK's Lord Chancellor on the humanitarian crisis in Gaza has been welcomed by a Tynwald member. Douglas East MHK Joni Farragher had called for the government to raise its concerns formally but she told Simon Richardson the wording failed to address the level of concern she's received from some island residents.
I think, you know, it was quite striking that the Council of Ministers decided to send it the week after saying that they couldn't send it and the week after choosing to amend my motion to take out that requirement. And I think that with the Council of Ministers having kind of dismissed my motion as naive, I thought it was quite interesting that a week later it actually wasn't naive to do that.
Now, effectively, though, we're backing the UK's position in the letter, but do you feel that they are doing enough to put the Israelis and Hamas under pressure?
Absolutely not, no. And I think that was the core of my motion, that actually, you know, sanctions haven't been imposed. The United Kingdom is still arming Israel, is still supplying intelligence for them, and has even had a hand in training in terms of military training for Israel as well. So actually, that was the core of my motion, was we need to, if universal law, if international law doesn't apply universally, then there's no point in it whatsoever. If it doesn't apply to all countries, it doesn't apply to anybody. And that was what I was trying to convey with my motion. And actually expressing that to the United Kingdom government was super important to me. And I think it's, you know, like I said, I think it's quite striking that that was stripped out. And then it was a week later it was done. But I'm glad that it was done.
There's a lot of politics at play here, isn't it? I mean, you've got some of the countries, the larger countries, who are calling for an end to hostilities, continuing actually to sell arms to Israel, the UK included.
Indeed, yeah. And I think that's where lots of people are struggling to understand where the United Kingdom is actually taking action.
France has said it will recognise a Palestinian state. Should we do the same?
Well, the United Kingdom has also signed a statement alongside France and Canada to say that the two-state solution can only be achieved via the recognition of a Palestinian state. So the United Kingdom should be very clearly advocating for that and very clearly saying the first step now is recognising Palestinian state.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of if you're out and about this evening. In Douglas, that the traffic light system at St Ninian's Crossroads is being replaced. So temporary lights are currently replacing the main lights and all filter lanes are out of operation. Also in Douglas, temporary lights on Woodbourne Road for the bus stop improvement works, and also a short stretch of Finch Road is closed for sewer work. Over in Ballasalla, temporary lights on St Mark's Road near the Fildraw Road turn for gasworks. And over in Ramsey, until the 8th of August, temporary lights on the Burring Road between Windsor Road and Coburg Road, 24 hours a day for groundworks. And also a reminder that the Mountain Road is due to close again tomorrow between Ramsey and the Craigner Bar for maintenance work. That closure will be in place every day this week between 9 in the morning through till 5. That's everything we have on our radar, but if there is anything you spot while you're out and about, do let us know, drop us a message, 166 177, studio at manxradio.com. Now, the steam packet, naturally, the Mananin is still suffering with significant technical issues, as far as we know. So all of the sailings today have been cancelled. We are expecting to hear an update from the steam packet about that in due course. I am looking at the steam packet's website and I'm seeing Mananin timetabled for tomorrow, but that is definitely one to keep an eye on. And of course, we will let you know if we have any more details. The Manxman sailings are all running to schedule, and over at the airport, only one thing to let you know about, that's the 20 past 6 departure to Liverpool, delayed by half an hour, set to leave at 10 to 7 now instead.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Manx Utilities' handling of a complaint from a customer has been described as complacent, dismissive, and betraying a lack of respect for the complainant's concerns by the Ombudsman. The Tynwald Commissioner for Administration found there had been several instances of maladministration after an individual raised concerns about their bills. Sean Cowper has this report.
The customer contacted Paul Beckett after raising a complaint with Manx Utilities about missing bills and concerns over their meter readings. They've complained about the way the matter was handled, but an internal review by MU found there was no evidence to support the complaint. Mr Beckett disagreed, describing a failure to address the possibility of a faulty meter as procedural maladministration. Another area of maladministration included the refusal to acknowledge complaints made by any means other than through an online web form, which Mr Beckett said was overly bureaucratic. The Ombudsman also highlighted the internal investigation by Manx Utilities, which was carried out by one of the body's directors. He found the report was made from a purely subjective standpoint and refused to acknowledge reasonable questions from the complainant. He described the response as having a complacent, dismissive tone and showing a lack of respect for the complainant's concerns, which evidences maladministration.
Well, earlier this afternoon, Manx Utilities has sent us a response, and it says, quote, Manx Utilities acknowledges the findings of the recently republished report and is committed to continuous improvement. We have already implemented enhancements to facilitate the early identification of complaints or issues. It adds, we will review our complaint investigation methods and handling procedures to identify any further improvements. It goes on to say, to date, over 25,000 meters have been upgraded to smart meters, resulting in minimal formal complaints from customers. Manx Utilities manages thousands of interactions weekly through telephone, email and face-to-face, making incidents of this nature extremely rare. Those comments there from Manx Utilities in response to the Tynwald Commissioner for Administration's report, which found its handling of a complaint to be complacent and dismissive. Now, just before that, we had the travel and I spoke about the steam packets and the issues facing the Mananan. We have actually just had an update come through from the steam packets. Simon Richardson is with me now. Simon, what can you tell me?
Basically, Christian, they say, as previously confirmed, specialist engineers are en route to the island to assist with repairs, and the steam packet's own team is working to resolve the issues as quickly as possible. Currently, and this relates to tomorrow, both the 0700 sailing to Dublin and its 1045 return, and the 1500 to Liverpool and its 1945 return remain subject to confirmation. A further announcement about these sailings will be made by 19:30 this evening, that's 7:30, subject to progress on repairs and the advice of specialist engineers. A final decision on the sailings will be made at 5:30 on Tuesday at the latest. That's 5:30 tomorrow morning.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for that, Simon. Now, people visiting the Manx National Farmers Union stand at this year's Southern District Agricultural Show were asked to sign a petition. It comes as recent government figures show only 6% of food consumed on the island is produced locally. Chris Pearson spoke to the MNFU General Secretary, Sarah Comish, to find out more.
Well, we thought it was a pretty shocking statistic that only 6% of the food consumed or purchased on the Isle of Man is produced locally. And I think that's lower. I've looked at many other countries and what percentage of food consumed is produced locally. And that's so much lower than anywhere else. Even Jersey, I think, is at like 20%.
And what would you typically expect in, say, the UK?
So the UK, I think the UK is 60%.
So it's way, way lower.
So it's 6%. That is really bad. And I think I think we were all quite shocked by that. So we thought, well, you know, what can we do about that? We've seen a lot of changes in recent years. COVID, everyone was very supportive of local. You know, they were really keen to go out and buy local, maybe because they didn't want to queue up at a supermarket. We had ShopRite. ShopRite supported a lot of local. Robinson still support a lot of local. But the UK supermarkets, and I'm not picking one because they're all the same, all the UK supermarkets that operate on the Isle of Man, they do operate, they have a lot of Creamery's products, which is fantastic. And we have got to, you know, acknowledge that they do a lot of support with the Creamery's. But we want to see more. You know, we've got a veg display on our stand, we've got a bread display on our stand, we've got eggs, we've got, you know, not meat, but, you know, that all those products, they need to be on our supermarket shelves as an option for people to buy, and we're just not seeing it. Another point to our petition here today is that we want to see more local produce being purchased through government procurement. So if government cannot support its own local industry, who can? You know, they're the biggest feeder to people on the Isle of Man.
That's the Manx National Farmers Union General Secretary Sarah Comish speaking there. We have contacted the Department of Environment, Food and Agriculture for a comment. On a lighter note, though, a Suffolk ewe lamb owned by the Kermode family has been named the supreme champion at this year's Southern. It's been over 10 years since they'd taken the win, but they host the show each year at their Orisdale farm. Countryside presenters Simon Clark and Kiri Kermode were there when the win was announced.
Oh, oh,
my word!
Well, there you go. Well done, the Kermode family in Orisdale farm. Oh. The hosts of the show as well. Trish Gelland has picked out the Suffolk. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm speechless, Simon. Makes a change for us to be quiet, doesn't it? But no, absolutely delighted. She's come through a real hard section this morning at the sheep lines. You know, there's some really, really top producers, breeders down there. They've put years of breeding into the genetics that they brought today. And for her to come through, you know, you need a lot of luck on your side, and that is the icing on the cake, it really is.
Well done to the Kermode family there with that you. Well, let's turn our attention to sport. FC Isle of Man began their season with a 0-0 draw against Litherland Remeke in the NWCFL Premier Division. The Manx side had chances to break the deadlock with captain Steve Whitley, Luke Booth and Ben Wasser all going close in the first half. Speaking to Manx Radio after the match, Steve said the result felt like a bit of a loss. Meanwhile, manager Paul Jones said the next few weeks will be key in shaping the season.
We did a little bit of analysis at the end of last season of how other teams use their squads and players, and you know, very much August into early September, they're kind of figuring out who their best 11 are, or the 11 that they can really trust. And you know, that's something we need to do, and maybe make sure that people are a little bit under pressure for their places. And if we're not getting what we want and we're not winning games of football, that, you know, we make some changes, and we're not shy in doing that. So yeah, and added to that, then just making sure everyone who comes in is really integrated into the group and that we're all on the same page with everything that we're doing. And that's the key focus really for August, whilst also winning some games of football, you know. So it sets us quite nicely into the very busy period, which will be September, October, November. So yeah, it's kind of almost, isn't it, I'm going to use the phrase an extended pre-season, but I don't mean that the results aren't important. I very much mean it is, but we've got three or four more weeks because of the games programme to really make sure everyone's fit, everyone's healthy, everyone understands what we're doing, and integrate the lads who haven't been around in pre-season. And if we can do that well, then that sets us up for, you know, a good 3 to 4 months afterwards.
Ravens boss Paul Jones speaking there. Well, let's stay with sport. We'll say now hello now to Darren Timpson.
Good evening. Starting with athletics, there was a silver medal for the Isle of Man at the England Under-20 Senior Track and Field Championships at the weekend. Island Games star Regan Corran picked up a silver in the men's long jump event, which was held at the Alexander Stadium in Birmingham. This is off the back of Orkney, where Corran recently won 5 medals. Regan also contested the men's high jump and narrowly missed out on the bronze medal. Despite equaling third place's height of 1.99 metres, he lost out on the bronze winner by beating as Regan on a countback. Elsewhere, Sam Perry ran his fastest second time of 1 minute 52.64 seconds in the 800 metres, but unfortunately that wasn't quick enough to make the final as he finished fourth in the second heat. Amy Christian was also at the championships and looked to build on her bronze medal success at the Island Games. She competed in the women's 400 metre hurdle, however her time of 1 minute 4 seconds and 44 wasn't enough to make it to the second heat of the event as she bowed out in 6th. In cricket, the T20 Weekend Premier League continued on Saturday. Peel have now taken the lead in the competition with 3 rounds left. They beat Finch Hill by 7 wickets to move to 13 points, 2 ahead of Cronkbourne. Their rivals meanwhile lost to Crosby by 9 wickets, who are now in touching distance of 2nd spot. Peel and Cronkbourne face each other on the 9th of August, and if the Western side win, they would only need one more point to take the title. And in cycling, Ireland resident Ben Swift is currently taking part in the EFS Tour de Wallonie in Belgium. The Ineos Grenadiers rider is currently 96th in the general classification after 3 stages. His best result came today as he finished in 36th in Antong. Tomorrow will make day 4 of the event as the peloton rides from Valkenrijk to Serong.
Fabulous. Thank you very much for that. That's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Up next is Phil Gorm with Agenda. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. Until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.